Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki. O Brahmana Narada, the superseer, the transcendent Lord, is beyond the perception of the material senses of the living entities because of the above mentioned three modes of nature. But he is the controller of everyone, including me. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 7:24-25, the Lord has declared very clearly that the impersonalist who gives more importance to the transcendental rays of the Lord as Brahma Jyoti, and who concludes that the absolute truth is ultimately impersonal and only manifests a form at a time of necessity, is less intelligent than the personless, however much the impersonalist may be engaged in the study of Vedanta. The fact is that such impersonalists are covered by the above mentioned three modes of material nature. Therefore, they are unable to approach the transcendental personality of Godhead. The Lord is not approachable by everyone because he is curtained by his yoga mode, yoga maya potency. But one should not wrongly conclude that the Lord was formerly unmanifested and has now manifested himself in the human form. This misconception of the formlessness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is due to the yoga maya curtain of the Lord and can be removed only by the Supreme Will as soon as the conditioned soul surrenders unto him. The devotees of the Lord who are transcendental to the above mentioned three modes of material nature can see the all-blissful transcendental form of the Lord with their vision of love in the attitude of pure devotional service. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmalitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yata Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vaschacha Deshatarine Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O Brahmana Narada, the superseer, the transcendental Lord, is beyond the perception of the material senses of the living entities because of the above mentioned three modes of nature. But he is the controller of everyone, including me. So the context of this verse is that at the beginning of the fourth chapter, Maharaj Parikshit had asked some questions of Shukadev Goswami. And those questions were specifically asking about sarga. You know, one of the 10 subject matters of the Srimad Bhagavatam is sarga, meaning creation. So he wanted to know about creation, how the Lord creates, what is the process of creation, what is his potencies in relation to creation, and also how does he wind up creation. So Shukadev Goswami was pleased with the questions of Parikshit Maharaj. And he said, actually these questions that you have asked was previously asked by Narada to Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma, he was personally enlightened on these answers by the Lord himself. So what better way to answer? So I will now narrate to you the Narada Brahma Samvad. So this is what chapter 5 is about. That's why we see this conversation taking place between Lord Brahma and Narad Muni. And it is a beautiful chapter, and what is very striking about this chapter is Lord Brahma's humility and his position as a devotee of the Lord. So Narada starts by saying, I thought you were the creator. And Brahma says, no, you got it wrong. I am not the creator. Lord Narayan is the creator. And he goes, Lord Brahma beautifully describes the process and the supreme position of the Lord as primary creator. And then the Acharyas paraphrasing Sri Narad says, Narad asks Lord Brahma, so what is your position? How do you feature in this? And then Lord Brahma explains that he is the secondary creator, Visharga. And in these few verses, Lord Brahma further explains his position and the position of the living entities in this material world. Now, what's really important about this verse and the purport? It explains the essence and the main reason, Hare Krishna, why people, including ourselves, are unable to perceive the Lord, to see the Lord. It's the common position of those who deny the existence of the Lord to do so on the basis of the argument that we cannot see God and we cannot experience him. And on the basis we cannot see him and perceive him, then we have to conclude he doesn't exist. Now that is a very weak argument. Just like now, the curtains to the lordships are closed. If I say Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda, Shishi Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman, and Shishi Gauranita, I don't exist. Because I can't see them. There's no logic in that. That's a very weak argument, isn't it? And from different perspectives, even simple things like the Wi-Fi waves, we can't see it. But we know it exists. Can we deny that there's a Wi-Fi? No. So this is a very weak argument. But Lord Brahma is saying, yeah, the real reason you cannot see is because you are covered by the three modes of material nature. So this weak argument by the scientists, you know, if they really wanted to, even if they cannot see God, they can see the effect of intelligent design. It's our common experience that information in this world, it's only produced by intelligence. There is no example of information or complex information being produced without intelligence, by some random process. So it's quite easy to conclude just by looking at the DNA, which is a very, very complex piece of information, that it has come from intelligence. And then we can go from beyond that, where is this intelligence coming from? But the common materialists, they are so deluded, they are so envious of the Lord, they would rather, if they do accept the argument of intelligence, and intelligence can only come from a person, they would rather accept that this intelligence may be coming from an alien, but not a God. And that's what they say, even some of the big evolutionists and other scientists. They are slowly coming to realize of the complexity of the material world. And this complexity cannot happen by process of random mutation and natural selection. It's got to be via intelligence. But they are so deluded. If you read scientific papers and what's happening in the scientific world at the moment, you'll read some latest discoveries and you will think, this is fait accompli. They'll have to concede now. They will certainly have to concede that there's intelligence beyond this universe, but they won't. They simply won't because of their delusion under the material modes of nature. Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, doesn't even bother talking about the gross materialists in connection with this ability to see and perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, he speaks about the impersonalists, and then he speaks about the devotees. And Srila Prabhupada talks about why the impersonalists are unable to perceive the personality of Godhead. Now, when we talk about impersonalists, we can talk about the Mayavadis, or we can talk about the Brahmavadis. The Brahmavadis are impersonalists, but they do not deny the existence of the Lord. The Mayavadis, they are impersonalists, but they are offensive because they say the Lord's form is Maya. So we will talk briefly about that. But at the beginning of the purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes two verses from the Bhagavad Gita, 7:24 and 7:25. Not sure any pundits here know what these verses are. Anyway, verse 24 is avyaktam vyaktim apanam manyate mam abhudyaha param bhavam ajananto mamav yayam anuttamam. Krishna says in verse 24, until unintelligent men who do not know me perfectly think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, was impersonal before and have now assumed this personality, as Prabhupada is referring to in the purport. Due to this, to their small knowledge, they did not know my higher nature, which is imperishable and supreme. So what the impersonalists say, the impersonal Brahman is supreme. But sometimes this impersonal Brahman may want to interact with the material world, and to do so, they will manifest some form. But that form is material. That's what they say. When the Lord comes, Krishna has a body made out of bone, flesh, blood, and so on. They do not understand that Krishna's body is transcendental, Sachidananda. And in text number 25, Nayam Prakasha Sarvasya Yogamaya Samavritaha Mudayam Nabijanati Lokamam Ajam Avyayam. Krishna says, I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada very interestingly says that when Lord Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, very few people perceived him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Most people could see him only as an ordinary personality. And Prabhupada quotes the Rajasuya sacrifice. And Prabhupada says there were only a very few people who could recognize Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It was the Pandavas, Bhishma, and a few devotees. And Shishupal and practically everyone else considered Krishna to be an ordinary personality. Why? Because Lord Brahma is saying here. Because when you are covered by the three modes of material nature, when we are covered, it's impossible to perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's a very similar message that Queen Kunti gives in her prayers. in the 8th chapter of the first canto, text number 19. Maya javanika achinam adukshajam avyayam na lakshyase mudadrisha nato natchadharo yathaha. Because Queen Kunti says, being beyond the range of the limited sense perception, you are the eternally irreproachable factor covered by the curtain of the deluding energy. You are invisible to the foolish observer, exactly as an actor dressed as a player is not recognized. Sometimes we may go to see a play. There are actors on the stage. Maybe it is our son or our father or our daughter that's acting. But she's all made up, completely different. And she appears on the stage. Nobody can identify that this is your daughter. But you know, that's my daughter. Even with all the disguise, all the paraphernalia, you know, this is my daughter. So those who are devotees of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who are not covered by the material energy, Krishna can appear in any form. They'll recognize him. It's not possible for Krishna to hide from his devotees, because the devotees are so much in love with Krishna that they will recognize him anyway. There are other verses that explain the same principle. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita quotes the Padma Purana. Ata Sri Krishna Namadi na bhaved grayam indriye. Sevan mukhi I jivado swarati na swayam eva spurati adaha. Ata Sri Krishna Namadi na bhaved grayam indriya. Sevan mukhi I jivado swayam eva spurati adaha. And the translation of this verse is, therefore, material senses cannot appreciate Krishna's holy name, form, qualities, and pastimes. When a conditioned soul is awakened to Krishna consciousness and renders service by using his tongue to chant the Lord's holy name and taste the remnants of the Lord's food, the tongue is purified and one gradually comes to understand who Krishna is. In one translation of this verse, Srila Prabhupada says these senses are blunt. When something is blunt, it's not possible to penetrate anything. So our senses are so blunt that they are unable to perceive Krishna. But the same senses, when they are purified through devotional service, it becomes possible for the same senses to perceive the Lord. So, for a gross materialist, one who is under the three modes of material nature, it's impossible to perceive Krishna as he is. It's not possible. And Srila Prabhupada explains this further in the purport in terms of the materialist, the impersonalist. Now, the impersonalists, they like to think that they are transcendental. Actually, in one purport, Prabhupada, he classifies the impersonalists as transcendentalists. But these impersonalists, they are not the Mayavadis. It is explained in the Bhagavatam that we have the material realm. And within the material realm, everyone is conditioned by the three modes of material nature. But what is the first aspect we encounter outside the material realm is the Viraja river. And Bhagavatam explains in the Viraja region of creation, there is no material modes of nature. But beyond the Viraja is what? The Vaikuntha. It's the spiritual world. So it is possible for someone to be outside the modes of material nature, to be classified so-called transcendental, but still they have no perception of the personality of Godhead. The furthest they can go is to the Viraja River. Prabhupada explains that the impersonalists, because they are under the modes, especially the Mayavadis, they will never be able to perceive. And we see this evident in our Shastras, especially in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. During the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the greatest Vedantist at that time was who? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, there's the pastime. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to see Lord Jagannath. He fainted in ecstasy. People thought that, you know, he had left his body. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya came. He put a cotton swab underneath the nostril of Mahaprabhu. He saw the swab was moving. He concluded, no, he's still alive. And he could perceive that this personality was experiencing some very elevated symptoms, spiritual symptoms. And he had Mahaprabhu brought to his house. And then he thought that this sannyasi is very attractive. He's very advanced. But later he found out that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was coming from a lower class sannyas tradition. And then he said that he will now correct this. He will correct this, and maybe I'll just read a few things he said, which really upset the devotees, really upset it. He said that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in his fully fledged youthful life. How can he keep the principles of sannyas? So first offense, he said, he's young, he's beautiful. Surely he will fall down. I got to do something to protect him. Then he said, I shall continually recite Vedanta philosophy before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so that he may remain fixed in his renunciation and thus enter upon the path of monism. So he's saying, again, he's not very educated in Vedanta, so I need to teach him. He then suggested, if Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would like, I could bring him into the first class sampradaya by offering him saffron cloth and performing the reformatory process again. So you can imagine Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He's got no inclination that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He thinks he has to do something to elevate him. Bhattacharya's brother-in-law was Gopinathacharya. Immediately Gopinathacharya was very upset. Very upset. He said, you do not know the greatness of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are found in him to the highest degree. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is celebrated as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who are ignorant in this fallen connection find the conclusion of knowledgeable men very difficult to understand. And what was Bhattacharya's response? Or his disciples' response? They said, you cannot claim him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We all know that the Lord is known as Triyuga. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Gornita ki jai. They said, we all know that the Lord, he's described as Triyuga. He only appears in three yugas. So you can't claim that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Gopinathacharya, again, got very upset. And he started quoting Mahabharata and various Vedic scriptures, evidencing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what do they do? Did they accept? He can't be the Supreme Personality of God. He's just a very attractive sannyas. He's just a very attractive sannyas. So they couldn't see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. completely deluded. But the same Bhattacharya, who was then convinced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he had understood Vedanta incorrectly, he surrendered to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fully. And then what did Mahaprabhu do? Mahaprabhu showed Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that he was the combined form of Radha and Krishna. And when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya saw this, he fainted. And this, the point being in this entire pastime, that one who is not a devotee will be deluded by the three modes no matter how elevated. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, could be no one more elevated than him in Vedanta. No one as cultured as him according to Vedic culture. No one could be as big a guru as him. But he couldn't recognize the personality of Godhead. The same thing happened with Prakashananda Sarasvati and his 10,000 disciples. When Mahaprabhu was traveling to Vrindavan, he stopped at Kashi. And when he stopped there, he performed Harinam Sankirtan. And those were devotees. They immediately recognized Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the Mayavadi sannyasis, they insulted Mahaprabhu. They called him a bhavikaha, a sentimentalist. They called him a sentimentalist. And there was one brahmana. He was so disturbed by the position of the Mayavadis that he decided to go personally. He decided to go personally and to speak to Prakashananda Sarasvati. And I'll read to you very quickly what he said to Prakashananda Sarasvati and what his response were. And this is from the 25th, 17th chapter of Madhya Leela. So the brahmana went to the impersonal and he said, the brahmana told Prakashananda Sarasvati, there is a sannyasi who has come from Jagannath Puri, and I cannot describe his wonderful influence and glories. Everything is wonderful about that sannyasi. He has a very well-built and luxuriant body, and his complexion is like purified gold. He has arms that extend to his knees, and his eyes are like the petals of a lotus. In his person are all the transcendental symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When one sees all these features and takes him to be Narayan himself, whoever sees him immediately begins to chant the holy name of Krishna. We have heard about the symptoms of a first-class devotee in Srimad Bhagavatam, and all those symptoms are manifest in the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His tongue is always chanting, he's dancing, and his name is all auspicious. Simply by seeing him, we become purified. All this description, evidence. And how did Prakashananda Sarasvati respond? He laughed. He laughed very much to hear this description. Joking and laughing at the brahmana, he began to speak as follows. Prakashananda Sarasvati said, yes, I have heard about him. He is a sannyasi from Bengal and he is very sentimental. I have also heard that he belongs to the Bharati, Bharati Sampradaya, for he is a disciple of Keshava Bharati. However, he is only a pretender. Prakashananda Sarasvati continued, I know that his name is Chaitanya, and he is accompanied by many sentimentalists. His followers dance with him and he tours from country to country and village to village. Whoever sees him accepts him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, since he has some mystic power by which he hypnotizes people. Everyone who sees him becomes illusioned. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a very learned scholar, but I have heard that he has also become a madman due to his association with Chaitanya. This Chaitanya is a sannyasi in name only. Actually, he is a first-class magician. In any case, E-sentimentalism cannot be very much in demand here in Kashi. Do not go to see Chaitanya. Just continue hearing Vedanta. If you associate with upstarts, you will be lost in this world and the next. And when the Brahmana heard Prakashananda Saraswati speak like this about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became very much grief-stricken. Chanting the holy name of Krishna, immediately left. And he went straight to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he said, "This is what he said." And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled. And he said, "They can never know." And this Brahmana was saying that he chanted your name Chaitanya 3 times, but he could never say Krishna. He could never say Hari. And the Mahaprabhu said, "That is to be expected. That is to be expected. Because in the conditioned state, one who has no taste, everything is bitter." This is like in Krishna's pastimes, Bakasura. He swallowed Krishna. Now Krishna by nature, his body is very sweet. But when Bakasura swallowed Krishna, he felt Krishna tasting very bitter. And immediately what he did? He spat him out. He spat Krishna out. Because the non-devotees, they have no perception of the sweetness of Krishna. So, you know, one can go on talking and there's so many verses and further examples. But I want to move to something very important. I've got some limited time. I have to leave early today. I want to talk about the devotees. Srila Prabhupada explains that the devotees of the Lord are beyond the 3 modes of material nature. And Prabhupada says, the moment that they surrender, the devotees go beyond the 3 modes of material nature. And Prabhupada explains that they go above sattva gun and they come to the platform of sudha sattva. Now, what is the sudha sattva? And how does one transcend the 3 modes of material nature? As sadhakas, this is very important. You know, one of the aspirations of the sadhaka is to one day see Krishna face to face. Is to see Krishna face to face. So it is in our interest, having heard Lord Brahma's profound statement, that we have to transcend the 3 modes of material nature. If we ever have to have perception of the Lord. Actually, Prabhupada says in one purport that devotional service only starts at the point when one reaches the Sudha Sattva platform. It only starts there. Our bhakti only starts at that platform. So the question is, what is the Sudha Sattva? How do we overcome the 3 modes of material nature? Where am I now? Have I transcended? Am I being affected by the modes of material nature? And at what point will I transcend the material modes of nature? That is some very important subject matter for us to discuss. Firstly, I'll just talk about us in the sadhaka state. And the 3 modes of nature. And I'll quote a conversation between one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, Bhagavat Das, and Srila Prabhupada. So he says, he asked Srila Prabhupada a question. And he was an avid reader, and he had read in the Bhagavad Gita that about the 3 modes of material nature. And being philosophical by nature, he wanted to understand some of the more refined and subtle points. So he says, "I said to Prabhupada, I am confused. Because throughout your books and your lectures, you say that when you become a devotee, you're on the transcendental platform. But at the same time, you talk about being affected by the modes of material nature. Although I'm a devotee practicing the principles of devotional service and experiencing a certain amount of transcendental pleasure, at the same time, I feel affected by the modes of nature. much like many of us, at least I can speak for myself, feel affected. How is it that I can be on the transcendental platform and still be affected by the modes of material nature? Very important question, isn't it? Relevant question. And Prabhupada's answer is simply brilliant. Prabhupada smiled. He saw that it was a thoughtful and introspective question and said, "That is a very good question." He answered, "It is just like being on a boat. When you're on the boat, no one can say you're not on the boat. You are on the boat. But sometimes big waves will come and rock the boat. So your position on the boat may be sometimes big waves come and rock that boat. Those waves are the modes of material nature. And the boat is the transcendental platform. You are on the transcendental platform, but sometimes the waves of material nature rock that boat, and therefore your position is not steady." Then he asked, "How will you become steady? For that you have to learn from the captain of the boat. Similarly, on the transcendental platform, if you learn from the spiritual master how to steer the boat of transcendence through the ocean of material life, then you will become steady even in the greatest storm of the modes of material nature." I was extremely impressed at how Prabhupada explained complex philosophy with a simple analogy. Very nicely explained, isn't it? By Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So I just want to briefly explain about this Sudha Sattva. Because we all have to attain the Sudha Sattva platform. So what is the Sudha Sattva? It is said that just like the material energy has three divisions, Tamagun, Rajagun, and Sattvagun, the mode of ignorance, passion, and goodness. The same way, the spiritual energy has three divisions, Sandini, Samvit, and Ladini. Sandini corresponds to the existential, eternal nature of the soul. Sat. Samvit is the cognitive potency, and that's the knowledge potency. Sat Chit Ananda. And Ananda corresponds to the Ladhini Shakti, the internal potency. So the spiritual energy, Srila Prabhupada says in one purport in the Bhagavatam, that the Sudha Sattva, it is the internal potency of the Lord. It is the internal potency of the Lord. So the essence of Sudha Sattva is Bhava Bhakti. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami gives the definition of Bhava Bhakti. Some of you who have studied Bhakti Shastri may know this very famous verse from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This defines what is Bhava Bhakti. Sudha Sattva Vishesh Atma Prema Suryamsu Samya Bhak Ruchi Bhis Chita Mashrinyu Krid Ashu Bhava Uchyate. And the translation of this verse, when devotional service is executed on the transcendental platform of pure goodness, it is like a sun ray of love for Krishna. At such a time, devotional service causes the heart to be softened by various tastes, and then one is situated in Bhava. So Sudha Sattva Vishesh Atma means that the essence of Sudha Sattva is the Samvit and the Ladini potency. The Samvit and Ladini potency. That means when one attains the stage of Bhava Bhakti, at that stage, one's body becomes infused with the Samvit and the Ladini potency. The Samvit potency is knowledge and understanding of Krishna. When one is bestowed with the Samvit potency, one gets to know really who Krishna is. and when one gets to really understand who Krishna is, then one becomes completely blissful, completely transcendent to the three modes of material nature. And then coupled with the Ladini potency, then we become very attracted to Krishna. Not only we become very attracted to Krishna, for the first time Krishna becomes very attracted to us. And one's heart becomes softened with various tastes, intense tastes, intense desires. And in the chapter 17 of the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada explains, those three intense desires take the form of the intense desire to want to serve Krishna, the intense desire to want to please Krishna, and the intense desire to want to have a very intimate relationship with Krishna. So at the stage of Sudha Sattva, one's body becomes infused or saturated with the Samvit and Ladini potency. And Prabhupada gives the analogy. Just like when you take a metal rod and you put that metal rod in fire, what happens to the metal rod? It no longer remains metal, but it becomes fire. It emits heat and it emits light. So in the same way, when the devotee, Sudha Sattva Vishesh Atma, when the devotee reaches the stage of Sudha Sattva, the devotee's body becomes completely spiritual. Therefore we say the pure devotee is the spiritual master. Their body is not material. We do not cremate the body of the spiritual master. That body has become completely spiritual by dint of it being completely on the platform of Sudha Sattva. And it's repeated in many purports, even in the Brahma Samhita. Lord Brahma says something very similar in that verse, Premanjana, Charita, Bhakti Vilochana. Santa Sadeva, Ridayeshu, Vilokayanti, Yam Shama Sundar, Achintya, Guna, Shama Sundar. Swarupam, yes, Swarupam. Govindam Adi Purusham, Tamaham Bhajami. He says, when your eyes are covered with the salve of love, then you'll be able to see. And in the purport, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says, that's the stage of Bhava Bhakti. When we come to the platform of Sudha Sattva, when one gets, how do we come? How do we receive the Sudha Sattva? There's two ways. Some people say by the process of sadhana bhakti, no. Just like if I have water and you are thirsty and you come to me and you say, I'm thirsty, can you give me water? I may or may not give you, isn't it? I may or may not give you water, it's my decision. But if you pray and ask and ask and ask and ask again, then I may give you water. So the Bhagavatam, or in this purport on the 17th chapter, Srila Prabhupada says that there's only two ways you can get this, the Sudha Sattva. You cannot achieve it. You can only receive it. You cannot achieve Sudha Sattva, never. You can only achieve it. And that Sudha Sattva, it is only two ways you can get it. It can be bestowed upon you by Krishna himself or by the spiritual master. In the 7th canto, 15th chapter, verse 25 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a beautiful verse. I won't read the Sanskrit because of time. He says, one must conquer the modes of passion and ignorance by developing the mode of goodness. And then one must become detached from the mode of goodness by promoting oneself to the platform of Sudha Sattva. All of this can automatically be done if one engages in the service of the spiritual master with faith and devotion. In this way, one can conquer the influence of the modes of nature. So Bhagavatam is very clear here. You can come to the platform of Sudha Sattva. And in the purport of this verse, Prabhupada says, And Prabhupada calls Yasya Prasada, Bhagavat Prasada. Prabhupada says, if you please the spiritual master, if the spiritual master is favorably inclined, one naturally receives the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, one immediately becomes transcendental, conquering all the influences of Sattvagun, Rajagun, and Tamagun within the material world. That's how the process works. So, you know, our process is essentially, you know, acting in our spiritual lives in a way that we can please Guru and Krishna. And when Guru and Krishna are pleased with us, one day they will bestow the Sudha Sattva on us. And that will be, we will be bestowed with the Samvit and the Ladini potency. And then we'll transcend the material world and we'll be on the stage of Bhava Bhakti, moving on to Prema. That's the first rays of Prema. So I went over time, I do apologize for that, but I thought there were some important points we needed to make. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I may take maybe one or two questions if anyone has. It was very clear? All right. No. Not the same. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go Premanande.